Confucius said, it does not matter how slowly you are moving as long as you do not stop. What's up, Money Makers? This is Mahara Tucker in Atlanta, Georgia, and you're on the Thinking Pro Rich call.
Love to hear it. What's going on? Good morning, Rick from California.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. Fantastic. This is Terrence from Corinth, Texas.
Hey, Terrence, what's happening?
You the one that's happening this morning, Miss Tucker.
I am happening this morning.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Adele from Long Island, New York.
Hi, lovely Adele. Good morning.
Good morning, sweetie. Glad to be here.
Good morning, Mahara.
Good morning, Emmanuel. And I think I even heard Chanel. Is that true?
That's true.
Good morning, both of you. Good morning.
Morning, Mahara. Larry and Wendy, McKinney, Texas.
Hey, Larry. Hey, Wendy. Good morning.
Good morning. Aloha from Arkansas, Mahara.
Elliot, how are you this morning?
Top of the morning.
Top of the morning to you.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Caro from Arizona.
Hey, Caro. Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. I'm elephantly excited.
I'm excited, too. Maybe we should take this call in a new direction.
Good morning. Tabitha from Florida.
Tabitha?
Yes, from Florida.
Good morning, Tabitha from Florida. We are so glad you're with us.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mahara. Elizabeth from Virginia.
Good morning, Elizabeth. Are you focused? Are you excited this morning?
I'm focused and excited.
Okay, wonderful. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good morning, Isabel, Florida.
Isabel?
Yeah, that's me.
Welcome to the Thinking Pro Rich call. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Vera from California.
Hi, Vera. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
You didn't make a stop by ever.
Who was that? Okay. Tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Bill Moist from south of Texas.
Hey, Bill Moist. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Hey, guys, don't forget to press star 6 after you say your name or we will know all your personal business.
California.
Hey, I'm Franzman from Batavia.
Batavia?
Batavia, Illinois. Yes, ma'am.
What's going
hey,
on, Mahara? This
We're
is Anthony here from beautiful Clearwater, Florida. How are you feeling this great morning?
I'm feeling great this morning, and how are you?
I am doing wonderful, Mahara.
I'm doing wonderful, too.
Kimberly in Florida.
This-
Hey, beautiful Kimberly, good morning.
Good morning, Mahara.
This
is Lamar calling from the best state in the world, which is Georgia.
Hey, Lamar, what you doing in Georgia this morning?
Drinking a nice cup of coffee.
Getting your morning routine going. We're glad you made us part of it.
Derek from Mississippi.
Was that New Jersey?
Derek from Mississippi.
Oh, Derek, good morning. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Charity from Bronx, New York.
Good morning, Charity. How's your morning?
Great. How you doing?
I'm doing great this morning. I got my cast propped up. I got my attitude right. I am ready for this call to start.
Okay, you go, girl.
Goldie in Boston.
Who is that, Boston?
Goldie.
Goldie, good morning.
Good morning. Have a good day.
Hey, good morning, Thinking Gurge family. This is Paul Hutchings dialing in from beautiful Southeast Idaho. It is wonderful Wednesday, March 25th, 2015. Another great day. to be alive. Excited to be here today, my friends, and excited about the information that we're going to cover today together as a group, as a mastermind, as a Think and Grow Rich family, life-changing information, information that does change the lives of all of those who open up their hearts and their minds to receive. And it's exciting stuff. So to kind of get things kicked off here, my friends, before we jump into the content of the call, I want to know, are you excited to be alive? I want to know, are you excited to be a freedom crusader? I want to know, are you excited to have energy, enthusiasm, passion, vigor for life? Are you excited to know that you can learn something new today, that you can take a new action, that you can step forward in a new direction, that you can chart a new course, that you can literally step into your destiny? And if you are, I want to hear you screaming in the line as I unmute the phone on this wonderful Wednesday morning right now. Hold on. All right, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for that. And let's get kicked right off into our definite major purpose self-confidence formula. I know there was a gentleman coming out yesterday with Patrice who had that ready. If you're here, star 6 and come on out. If you'd be willing to lead us through that this morning, we'd greatly appreciate it. Is that gentleman that was coming out yesterday here this morning? I didn't catch his name, unfortunately. And if he's not here, is there someone else out there in Think and Grow Rich Land who has this ready for us? Hey, who's that? Good morning.
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, is that right?
That's right.
How are you this morning, Emmanuel?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being here to lead us through this. Go ahead and take us away.
Nice to hear that. Okay, my major definite purpose. Can you hear me well?
Loud and clear, sir.
Thanks. By the first day of, I will have in my possession residual income which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this money, I will have the most efficient service of which I'm capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and the best possible quality of service in the capacity of. I believe that I will have this money in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this money before my eyes. I can touch it with my hand. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intend to render for it. I am awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this money, and I will follow that plan when it is received. Self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action towards this attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action. And I gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of other suggestions, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop endeavoring until I shall have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the profits I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign this my name. I will sign my name to this formula. Commit it to memory and repeat it aloud once a day and with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become a self-reliant and successful person. Amen.
Amen. Emmanuel, you did such an amazing job. I've got to tell you, my friend, I'm grateful to you for coming out and leading us through that this morning. And I believe in you and your ability to achieve the object of your definite purpose in life. And my friend, really, if you think Emmanuel did a great job, if you think he gave us a great example of stepping out on the call live in front of hundreds of people and showing initiative and leadership, let's give him a round of applause and express our belief into him real quick as I unmute the lines right
now.
You know, that's what I'm talking about. I appreciate you guys, and I appreciate the community of love and support and belief that we have on this call as we continue to study the laws of success and become better people. You know, I saw in our Facebook group, Lisa Scott had posted that she received her new book, Money, Master the Game by Tony Robbins, and I was excited about that because I'm actually going through that book myself right now, and there's a bunch of people in the group that were like, hey, you know, I'm reading it too, and hey, I just ordered mine, and you know, just a whole bunch of people that are reading great things, learning, you know, current, you know, the latest and greatest in money management and success, and I think that's just a cool thing that we're all here, you know, growing our minds in lots of different ways. So I wanted to just recognize Lisa Scott for that. And then I also saw in the Facebook group Pat Simpson and Will Rodriguez and Tammy Briscoe had an awesome shot. They were somewhere at some event. I think it was in Las Vegas, Nevada. And, man, they looked, each of them, like $1 million at least. I think they, so you combine them, and, you know, it's like $3 million staring at you back in this picture. And a bunch of people commented, said, you guys look great. And they said, you know, I think it was Pat. He said, hopefully I hope we look like we represent this family well. And I thought that was neat. I thought that was cool. The past would have that thought that they're going out into the world, they're building their businesses, they are, you know, moving forward into their major definite purposes, and he has the thought that they represent the Think and Grow Rich family, that they represent the Think and Grow Rich philosophy. I thought that was neat because how cool would it be if all of us, in whatever we do, whenever we're doing conference calls or coaching calls or prospecting calls or meeting people at networking events or working in our local communities, how cool would it be if we all maybe thought of ourselves like Pat does, as a representative of Dr. Napoleon Hill, as a representative of the Think and Grow Rich philosophy, as a representative of the Think and Grow Rich family who goes out into the world and stands. And it's not just that they're a representative. It's not just that we're representative of some group. It's that we are representatives of what the group stands for, right? It's that we are representatives of definite purpose, self-confidence, faith, initiative, leadership, the habit of savings, going the extra mile, pleasing personality, accurate thought, concentration, cooperation, failure, tolerance, right? What a great thing to stand for, tolerance. The golden rule, law of success number 15. We stand for the golden rule, doing unto others as we would have them do unto us. Those are the 15 laws, or some of them, right? And so when we go out into the world and we do our thing, when we say our words, when we, you know, go forth and shine our lights, how cool would it be if we did think of ourselves the way Pass did? So I wanted to give Pass a shout-out because I thought that was really cool, and I thought that it had a lot of meaning. It's exciting to know that we have hundreds of people on the call who are learning, growing, and then going out and being emissaries, maybe even you could say ambassadors in the world for the Law of Success philosophy. So great job, Will, Pass, and Tammy. I think that's just awesome what you guys are doing. Now, we're going to jump into the Law of Success. We're on page 363 of 1170. We're in the chapter on initiative and leadership, and in the ebook copy, we're on page 21 in the chapter on initiative and leadership. And if you're new to the call, you can grab that on our website, growrichaudios.com. While you're getting that ready, though, I had to share just a quick little story with everybody. You know, I think it's so fun that we're learning these amazing lessons and we get to share them with people around us. And as you guys know, you know, I do the best that I can to teach my kids this stuff. I've got four boys. And the oldest three, the youngest one, he's 2 years old. His name is Cash, and he's two. And so the oldest three, I've got a five-year-old, a seven-year-old, and a nine-year-old. Caden just turned nine the other day. And the oldest three, the five, seven, and nine-year-old, they have the 15 laws of success memorized, totally memorized. They can tell you 1 through 15. This book that we're studying, they know them all, right? And so, and one of the fun things that they do is they like to repeat them. They like to say, Dad, would you like to hear the 15 laws of success? And I'm like, yeah, I would. And so, and as a matter of fact, yesterday we were driving to karate, and one of my kids was in a little bit of a bad mood, so I was trying to change the focus to something else. And so I was trying a few different things. And nothing was working, and so I said, do you guys want to see who can say the 15 laws of success the fastest? And so the two kids in the back seat, they were like, yeah. And so I hit the stopwatch, and one of them would go, and we would time them, you know, like 18 seconds they could do it. Then the second one, 15 seconds, and then Caden, my oldest, you know, he wanted to do it. And next thing you know, we got the whole family engaged in this process, where we're timing ourselves to see, you know, who can say the 15 laws of success the fastest. Well, anyway, day goes by, and it's last night, and I was out for the evening because I was watching a coaching hangout from one of my mentors last night, and so my wife was with the kids reading stories and dinner and stuff, and Dad was in the office for a couple hours last night, and so when I came out, all the kids miss Dad, of course, and they wanted Dad to go lay down with them. It's one of their favorite things. They like me to lay down with them one by one and talk to them and tell stories and stuff like this. So I was like, you know, I better do it, you know, because I missed you guys for a little bit last evening, so let me go spend some time. So I was laying down with Caden in his bed, and the funniest thing, Cashton, my two-year-old, he's in the same room, and so I'm talking to Caden, and all of a sudden I hear Cashton saying, Dad, is law of success number one purpose? And he's saying it in his little two-year-old voice, and I couldn't understand him, and I was like, what? And he's like, is blah, 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 blah. I was like, what? And then I hear he goes, is law of success number one purpose? And I start laughing, and I was like, yes, it is. And he goes, oh, thanks. And then I continue talking to Caden, and then a few minutes later, my two-year-old says, Dad, is blah, 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 blah. And I was like, what? And he goes, is law of success number two savings? And I said, no, it's not. And he said, okay, thanks. And then he goes back to doing his little thinking, a two-year-old, right, just out of the blues asking these questions. So It is the funnest thing. And then the other thing we were doing is I just finished reading the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and I boiled that book down to 13 principles for myself so that I can use them and memorize them, and I call them the 13 laws of a pleasing personality. So I've been teaching my kids, right, because law of success number 9 and that we're studying is pleasing personality. And then the book How to Win Friends and Influence People, I think, gives the best explanation of how to have a pleasing personality. And I'm excited to read the chapter when we get there in Law of Success and see what Dr. Hill says about it. But anyway, Dale Carnegie writes this book in 1937 where he teaches how to win friends and influence people. So in any case, I got these 13 laws of a pleasing personality that are boiled down from that book, and I've been teaching them to my kids. And last night we were reviewing them. They got like the first 10. So I go over them with Caden, and then I go over them with Kyson, my 5-year-old. Then I go over them with Camden. And then Camden's the last one last night. He's 7. And he's like, Dad, can you tell me a story? And I said, okay, and so I started to tell him this story about, and they love, you know, Scooby-Doo, so I'm like, okay, the Mystery Inc. van shows up at our house, and they want Camden because there's this haunted house, and there's this ghost in this haunted house, and it won't leave, and they need Camden because he has a pleasing personality. And next thing I know, Caden from the other room comes in. He's like, hey, you're telling a story? And then Kyson from the bunk below is like, hey, you're telling a story? I was like, all right, you guys want to hear? So come on up here. So they're listening to this story. And so the story goes, Camden goes to this haunted house, and there's this ghost in there, and this ghost is flying around, you know, terrorizing everybody. And Camden's like, he's like, you can't scare me because I have a pleasing personality. And he walks in the front door, and the ghost, like, flies down and tries to attack Camden. And he pulls out law number 1, which is to smile. And he puts this big smile on his face, like a Pat Simpson-type smile, and he stares at the ghost, and the ghost is like, huh? And the ghost backs up, and it kind of sets him off, right? So then the ghost, like, takes another run at him, and he's like, okay, law of pleasing personality number 2, be agreeable. So he starts to agree with the ghost. He's like, you know, ghost, I know that, you know, it probably gets kind of tiring, all these people come in here, you know, trying to get you to scare him, and he just starts agreeing with the ghost, and then that sets the ghost back. And then number 3, right, pleasing personality law number 3, ask questions. So the ghost is flying at Camden, and then Camden says, Mr. Ghost, how long have you lived in this house? And then he starts asking questions. What's your name, right? Do you have family? And he just starts asking him questions, and that sets the ghost off. Anyway, long story short, he's got these 10 tools of a pleasing personality, and each one he goes through to set the ghost back. And as I'm going through this story, I'm watching my kids, and they're laughing, and they're smiling, and they're watching with anticipation as we're reviewing the 10 laws of a pleasing personality that we've been learning in our family. So just fun little stories that I'm experiencing in my life as a result of what we're doing on this call together, which is getting better, learning, growing, doing the best we can to understand how to be the best versions of ourselves. So I wanted to share that with you guys because it's fun stuff and it's changing my life. Hopefully you get a little bit of benefit out of that. And I know that you're passing this stuff on, and I'd love to hear your stories of how you're, you know, applying and teaching the laws of success that we're learning here together, because it kind of brings it to life for me. So in any case, let's go ahead and jump into our study. Dr. Hill just got done teaching us a little bit about initiative, and now we're going to jump into leadership, and here's what he says. He says, we come now to the next step in our description of the exact procedure that you must follow in developing initiative and leadership. Third, before we go further, let it be understood what is meant by the term leadership, as it is used in connection with this reading course on the law of success. There are two brands of leadership, and one of them is as deadly and destructive as the other is helpful and constructive. The deadly brand, which leads not to success but to absolute failure, is the brand adopted by pseudo-leaders who force their leadership on unwilling followers. It will not be necessary here to describe this brand or to point out the fields of endeavor in which it is practiced, with the exception of the field of war. And in this field, we will mention but one notable example, that of Napoleon. Napoleon was a leader. There can be no doubt about this. but he led his followers and himself to destruction. The details are recorded in the history of France and the French people, where you may study them if you choose. It is not Napoleon's brand of leadership that is recommended in this course, although I will admit that Napoleon possessed all the necessary fundamentals for great leadership, excepting one. He lacked the spirit of helpfulness to others as an objective. His desire for the power that comes through leadership was based solely upon self-aggrandizement. His desire for leadership was built upon personal ambition and not upon the desire to lift the French people to a higher and nobler station in the affairs of nations. And there's a quote here on the preceding page that I'm going to read. It's one of my favorite quotes from Dr. Napoleon Hill, and he writes, "Cherish your visions and your dreams as they are the children of your soul, the blueprints of your ultimate achievements." Continuing on, "The brand of leadership that is recommended through this course of instruction is the brand which leads to self-determination and freedom and self-development and enlightenment and justice. This is the brand that endures. For example, and as a contrast with the brand of leadership through which Napoleon raised himself into prominence, consider our own American commoner, Lincoln. The object of his leadership was to bring truth and justice and understanding to the people of the United States. Even though he died a martyr to his belief in this brand of leadership, his name has been engraved upon the heart of the world in terms of loving kindliness that will never bring aught but good to the world. Both Lincoln and Napoleon led armies in warfare, but the objects of their leadership were as difficult as night is different from day. If it would give you a better understanding of this principle upon which this reading course is based, you could easily be cited to leadership of today, which resembles both the brand that Napoleon employed and that which Lincoln made the foundation of his life work. But this is not essential. Your own ability to look around and analyze men who take the leading parts in all lines of endeavor is sufficient to enable you to pick out the Lincoln as well as the Napoleon types. Your own judgment will help you decide which type you prefer to emulate. There can be no doubt in your mind as to the brand of leadership that is recommended in this reading course, and there should be no question in your mind as to which of the two brands described you will you adopt as your brand. We make no recommendations on this subject, however, for the reason that this reading course has been prepared as a means of laying before its students the fundamental principles upon which power is developed and not as a preachment on ethical conduct. We present both the constructive and the destructive possibilities of the principles outlined in this course that you may become familiar with both, but we leave entirely to your own discretion the choice and application of these principles, believing that your own intelligence will guide you to make a wise selection. The penalty of leadership. In every field of human endeavor, he that is first must perpetually live in the white light of publicity. Whether the leadership be vested in a man or in a manufactured product, emulation and envy are ever at work. In art, in literature, in music, in industry, the reward and the punishment are always the same. The reward is widespread recognition. The punishments, fierce denial and detraction. When a man's work becomes a standard for the whole world, it also becomes a target for the shafts of the envious few. If his work be merely mediocre, he will be left severely alone. If he achieve a masterpiece, it will set a million tongues a-wagging. Jealousy does not protrude its forked tongue at the artist who produces a commonplace painting. Whatsoever you write or paint or play or sing or build, no one will strive to surpass or slander you unless your work be stamped with the seal of a genius. Long, long after a great work or a good work has been done, those who are disappointed or envious continue to cry out that it cannot be done. Mean voices were raised against the author of The Law of Success before the ink was dry on the first textbooks. Poisoned pens were released against both the author and the philosophy the moment the first edition of the course was printed. spiteful little voices in the domain of art were raised against our own Whistler as a mountebank long after the big world acclaimed him its greatest artistic genius. Multitudes flocked to Bayreuth to worship at the musical shrine of Wagner, while the little group of those whom he had dethroned and displaced argued angrily that he was no musician at all. The little world continued to protest that Fulton could never build a steamboat, while the big world flocked to the riverbanks to see his boat steam by. Small, narrow voices cried out that Henry Ford would not last another year, but above and beyond the din of their childish prattle, Ford went silently about his business and made himself the richest and most powerful man on earth. The leader is assailed because he is a leader, and the effort to equal him is merely added proof of his leadership. Failing to equal or to excel, the follower seeks to depreciate and to destroy, but only confirms the superiority of that which he strives to supplant. There is nothing new in this. It is as old as the world and as old as the human passions, envy, fear, greed, ambition, and the desire to surpass, and it all avails nothing. If the leader truly leads, he remains the leader. Master poet, master painter, master workman, each in his turn is assailed, and each holds his laurels through the ages. That which is good or great makes itself known, no matter how loud the clamor of denial. A real leader cannot be slandered or damaged by lies of the envious, because all such attempts serve only to turn the spotlight on his ability, and real ability always finds a generous following. Attempts to destroy real leadership is love's labor lost, because that which deserves to live lives. We come back now to the discussion of the third step of the procedure that you must follow in developing initiative and leadership. The third step takes us back for a review of the principle of organized effort, as described in the preceding lessons of this course. You have already learned that no man can accomplish enduring results of a far-reaching nature without the aid and cooperation of others. You have already learned that when two or more persons ally themselves in any undertaking in a spirit of harmony and understanding, each person in the alliance thereby multiplies his own powers of achievement. Nowhere is this principle more evidenced than it is in an industry or business in which there is perfect teamwork between the employer and the employees. Wherever you find this teamwork, you find prosperity and goodwill on both sides. You know, my friends, I think that's a great place for us to stop. We'll continue this study tomorrow. We'll continue this study of leadership tomorrow. We've got some good content to talk about for the remainder of the mastermind portion of the call. And maybe I'll just make a couple of comments here on what we've covered so far and to kind of kick the mastermind portion off. And then I'm excited to hear your thoughts. You know, this idea that leaders will be assailed, leaders will be criticized, leaders will be put down. I think it was Newchild sent me a text the other day of a video by Simon Sinek that was about how the title was Leaders Eat Last. And I think it's interesting that Dr. Napoleon Hill points this out, Simon Sinek points it out, this concept that there is a price to be paid for leadership. Even Emerson, in his essay Compensation, you know, talks about how, you know, the person who discovers the truth must now pay the price of being a standard of the truth and preaching the truth. And there is a price to that. There is a, you know, a quote-unquote a penalty, if you want to call it a penalty. And a couple examples of this, and I remember this listening to an audio from Jim Rohn quite a long time ago. I remember him talking about how he had to have a bodyguard when he traveled. And I remember sharing that, and Elise and Mahara, you know, picked up on that. And Mahara several times mentioned that to me in our private conversations, that she's reminded by Elise, you know, all the time that Jim Rohn had to have a bodyguard, right? Jim Rohn, I mean, I don't know what your opinion of Jim Rohn is. My opinion of him was that he was such a great man, right? Achieved so much in his life and then traveled the world being a beacon of light and, the power of words and illustrating truths and principles and success philosophies to make other people's lives better. And I have nothing but respect for that man, and he had to have a bodyguard. What does that mean? It means that, well, when he traveled, there were people in the world that would do him harm. Interesting, right? Interesting to note that he had to have a bodyguard. You know, another example, just from my life yesterday, I had this individual in my local community. I actually went to the church that I attend here in my local area. He's moved on now, but he's been following some of my stuff on Facebook, and I think he subscribed to my email list. And the other day he reached out to me, and he's like, so what do you do, right? What do you do, you know, to make money? And I shared with him, you know, the link to my business presentation so that he could learn a little bit more about it. And we're chatting back and forth. And yesterday, out of the blue, he responds. He's like, hey, sorry, you know, I haven't gotten back in a little while. And then he said, I will not be involved in a business. He said, I will not be involved in a business where a certain percentage of the people make less than X amount of dollars a month. And then he says, my family, you know, he goes on to say, my family recently lost a lot of money in a similar type of setup, and I choose to make my money in another way. And really what he was saying, one of my mentors taught me a great lesson that I'll share with you guys because it's applicable to this particular interaction. My mentor said that the meaning of your communication is not the words that you say. The meaning of your communication is the effect that it produces. And so isn't it true that sometimes when we say things, there is a spirit behind of what we say that really tends to be communicated even more than the words? And sometimes when we say things, there are things that are written between the lines. And so this interaction that this young man sent to me, basically what he was saying was, Paul, you're a scammer because not everyone is making money, you know, in the business that you're in, and I choose to make my money in a way that's more honest, in a way that's more ethical, in a way that has more integrity, in a way that helps people more, right? Young kid, early 20s, doesn't really understand probably business very well, doesn't really understand that the fact is the stats in business show, as we're students of the law of success, right, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, the stats in business show that, there is the 80-20 rule, and there is a fact that to win in business and to win in life, it takes a lot, right? It takes a lot of reading, listening, getting around the right people, trying and failing and trying and failing and getting up and keeping on going and development of the mind and the heart and the soul, right? It takes a spirit of never quitting. It takes a spirit of being in it to win it. It takes an uncommon, yes, an uncommon, I will say an uncommon level of commitment and dedication and perseverance. And this gentleman that wrote me this email talking about how his family tried a similar system and maybe didn't get the results that they wanted, and so he blamed it on the system, right? Never stopping to think that, well, hey, maybe, just maybe, did his family bear some responsibility in the results that they got or that they failed to get, right? Maybe, did they? Maybe? I don't know. Right? And so the reason I share that is because there does seem to be a price of leadership. There does seem to be a price of standing for something, right? There does seem to be a price of what I stand for, which is, you know what? I believe in human beings, and I believe that there is a power inside human beings that can be developed. Do I say it's easy? No, it is not easy. But I do see it's easier than the alternative. I believe it's easier than the alternative of living a life of mediocrity. I believe it's easier than the alternative of walking around thinking that everyone else is responsible for the results that I have or don't have in my life. I think it's easier than that, and I will say it is easier, but it's not easy, right? It takes work. It takes dedication. It takes time. It takes all this stuff that we study, right? Study again, understanding and application of the laws of success. But there is a price, right? If you're going to stand for that, if you're going to believe in people, if you're going to believe in personal responsibility, if you're going to believe in agency and freedom of choice, if you're going to believe that human beings are responsible for the results that they get or don't get in their lives, I'm telling you there's a price for that. And the price might be people are going to look at you. They might call you a scammer. They might say you're ripping people off. They might say all sorts of mean, nasty, hurtful little things. And we, my friends, as leaders, we, my friends, who are seeing the consequences and seeing the benefits of leadership, because I believe the benefits far outweigh the little, you know, hurtful comments that try to come at us sometimes. The benefits are so much bigger than that. In fact, the benefits almost cause all of that other nonsense to drift and fade away into insignificance, total insignificance, because the benefits of leadership are, right, health, wealth, prosperity, abundance, and contribution, being a light to other people, grabbing your light and shining it into someone's life, maybe where there's a little bit of darkness there, to where people are able to see things they didn't see before. People are able to understand things they didn't see before. People are able to say to you, you know what, Lisa Scott, what you said reached inside me and it changed me. It helped me to see that I could have a better life. It helped me to see that I could do better things, right? Mayor Tucker, that quote you shared on Facebook, wow, it shined a new light into my path. Those are some of the benefits of leadership. So I commend you, my friend and friends, for being on this call, because I believe the fact that you are here, Jennifer Glidden, right, other leaders on the call, all the leaders on the call, I believe it means that you are a leader and you have made the decision that you are going to rise up, you are going to let your light shine, and you're going to continue to study, learn, stay at your craft, develop yourself, look for ways that you can get better so that you can cause that light that's already shining to burn brighter and brighter and brighter. Because that seems to be the destiny of the leader. So, my friends, I'm excited to hear your thoughts. I'm excited to be here. I'm feeling pumped up. Let's jump into the mastermind portion of the call. Keep in mind, this is not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless the leaders are a part of our call, and brevity and relevance always appreciated in your comments. One moment, please.
Hey, Sean. Good morning.
Star 6, who's first?
Paul, cool. Anthony from here.
Hey, we got Anthony, I think, was first. Good morning, sir. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Thinking Grow Rich family. And I am excited to be on the Thinking Grow Rich call. I'm excited to be here with you, Paul Hutchins, and to be going over this wonderful information that was laid down to us by Napoleon Hill. And I just wanted to actually have a few comments on everything that has actually went forth. First and foremost, when we came out about the picture of Pass and them being in Las Vegas, and an actual quote came to me that, you know, how you respect the small things is a direct reflection of how you respect all things. So if we respect, you know, the small things in our lives and see value in the small things, you know, it's a direct reflection on how we actually see and reflect everything in our life, you know. So, I mean, that's so important when we're talking about, you know, these principles that we're going over on the Think and Grow Rich call, you know, about respecting the principles, respecting, you know, it's not just a book that we're going over, but it's a philosophy, you know, that we're really trying to follow and really to apply to our lives. And that's really what's going to make us better, you know, in the future, that, you know, we really respect these principles and really try to implement these things into our lives. And then over initiative and leadership, where we went over on the call today, just wonderful information. I mean, when you really seriously think about it, the two brands of leadership, you know, if you're going to be, you know, a hard, you know, leader to where you're just going to force people to do exactly what you want them to do, or are you going to be, you know, a Lincoln, you know, who you know, in the beginning of Lincoln's career, before he was actually president, you know, we know that, you know, he had calls with people, you know, where he almost got into a fight with, a dual battle with somebody, and, you know, was canceled the last minute. So, I mean, you know, as we actually grow, you know, within our character and,
you know, as individuals, we start to see what's effective, you know, to actually deal with people and actually to build that link in leadership with inside of us. You know, every president that I know of, when they go to the White House, you know, all of them start talking about Lincoln because they want to implement, you know, into their lives that brand of leadership, you know, not a dictator leadership, but, you know, more so of a cooperation. And you know, that's basically one of the, you know, the laws of success is cooperation. We can't reach our goals in life if we don't have cooperation from other people. So it's very important. And all these principles, you know, are, you know, so important, you know, to all of us that are really striving to reach our goals in life. So I just wanted to add that, but I'll turn it back over to you, Paul. Everybody have a blessed day. Back to you, Paul.
Great thoughts as always, Anthony. Appreciate you, my friend. Was that Frank I heard from you?
Delaware.
Hey, what's up, Frank? Good morning.
Good morning, Paul, and good morning to the Think and Grow Rich family. I love you all, and I love you, Paul. Thank you so much for everything you do for us. I wanted to bring the principles of Napoleon Hill, these principles that he's talking about, this leadership, into the modern age. This is something that we all remember, and I'm not trying to sound political because I know this is not a political call, and I'm not saying whether anything was good or bad, but I'm just pointing out the principles that this person used in particular. When Ronald Reagan was president of the United States, he had a dream that the Soviet Union was going to tear down the wall separating West and East Germany. And he made a speech right there, and he said, "Gorbachev, tear down this wall." And the press flayed him alive. They just flayed him. They ripped him up to shreds because they said, "That is ridiculous. That is never going to happen. They are a juggernaut. They're huge. They're bigger than us. They're bigger than the United States." And less than a decade later, the Berlin Wall fell. And it really just goes to show that if a person believes and if a person moves forward in their belief and they do not allow people that the naysayers to bring them down, whatever they choose to believe is exactly what happens. And so that's my sharing for this morning. Thank you very much, Paul. Back to you.
Awesome share, Frank. Thanks. Appreciate that. Good stuff. Star 6, who's next? Come on out. Have you ever been criticized or put down for your leadership? Hey, Kimberly, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning to you, and thank you so much for this ongoing source of inspiration and motivation, guidance, leadership, wisdom, power. What an awesome, awesome thing we have here in the Think and Grow Rich family. I feel extremely grateful to be a part of it. It's massively powerful and moves me forward in my life every day, so my great privilege to have the opportunity to come out and talk a little bit about these leadership principles. And I'm so incredibly grateful for this body of work because I think of all the countless tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of hours that have gone into developing, cataloging, and expressing to us in a way we can understand. These principles, they're just very, very simple at their essence, and they may take a lifetime to master, but I'm grateful for this delivery that is absolutely within the capacity of everyone to understand if they apply their focus to it. And I've noticed that as my team begins to implement more and more of these principles in their approach and in their business, it gives them a sort of a quantum horsepower behind their results. It's fascinating to behold. I think of, I heard an analogy of a bamboo tree and how it grows very, very little in the beginning. It looks like it's really not doing anything because what it's doing is not actually visible to the naked eye. It's putting down roots. It's sending down the strength of its foundation so that in the next phase of its development. It shoots up like 60 feet in a year. That's just amazing to me. And so it looks like this overnight success, this massive sensational thing happened, and it came out of nowhere. But in fact, all that while, it was doing that preparatory period. I'm excited to see everyone's growth on this call, and I hear that process happening today. It's a huge privilege to witness. So thank you very much, and I am interested to hear what everyone else has to say.
So very grateful for you and your comments and insights and your initiative and leadership in practicing these principles in your life. I see how well they've worked for you and continue to work as you strive to share them with the people around you, and appreciate you coming out and sharing with us.
Hey, Paul, it's Amber.
Hey, I heard Amber in Key West, R6. Amber, come on out.
Are you there?
I am here. How are you?
I'm good. I keep muting and unmuting. Sorry. I'm great. Just got out of my hot tub, even though it's 80 degrees out. Right? It's so great. Great way to start the morning listening to this call in the hot tub, just like totally expressing and feeling gratitude. You know, I love that. So, you know what? I actually do have experience in this. You know, I'm a leader in Key West for a certain big, like, organization, and I have some people on my team that, turned on me kind of back at the end of January, I think it was. I guess really what it was, like, me expressing my leadership, you know, that maybe they wanted to be leaders too, but they, you know, couldn't handle it and really got hateful and turned it around on me and just some nasty ways, and I was really unprepared for that, and I took it really personally. It took me a while to really realize that it was because I was a leader that there are going to be haters. You know, I didn't feel that at first. At first, I was, like, devastated and so hurt and you know, thought there was something wrong with me and, you know, really blamed myself, and it didn't feel right doing that, but I kind of sometimes think, oh, that's the right thing to do, just take responsibility and apologize. And, you know, after when I did that, I was like, that's not right, you know, and I talked to a lot of people, and so what happened was I was really hurt, you know, just because spiritually, I guess I wasn't prepared as looking at myself as a leader, you know, to experience that. And what I did was I took all the stuff that we learn here with you. Of course, I made sure I was on the call every day, and what I did was because I'm always an outward person, you know, I'm going to networking events and, you know, talking to everybody and out there selling and all kinds of stuff. So I went for the whole entire month of February, I totally went inward, and I did this consciously. And all I did, I didn't even work. I, like, took the whole month off from actually working. And I went inward, and I just meditated, exercised, went to yoga, you know, talked to people, walked on the beach, played games, just upped my reading, you know, all the books that we read, Our Thinking Grow Rich, and just everybody, Bob Proctor, even Eckhart Tolle, all of them, read and listened to audios like crazy and just worked on my inside. Rather than, like, hate myself and think there was something wrong with me, I built myself up on the inside. I knew I had to strengthen myself if I wanted to be, you know, it's not that I am a leader already, so I have to do that. It's either that or crumble and run away. It was one of the two, you know, and my first thought was to just run. I'm just going to quit and run and hide. And then I realized after a little bit, no, you know what, you deserve this. You have already stepped into this position. You have to do it. You know, you've invested too much to just run and walk away and let them win. You know, and then let everything you've worked on so hard crumble. So I just invested in myself. And, you know, at the end of the month, the beginning of March, I also went to an event, you know, a personal development leadership event that you know about. And then I knew I was just going to come out, ball to the wall in March, and really be ready to work and hit the road running. And that's what I'm doing. But I had to do a lot of work to get back to this, not just back to where I was, but better than what I was. And it's because of these principles, really, you know. So thank you. I just want to share that experience.
I love it, Amber, and I think you deserve one of these here. So let me play this for you. That's the sound that's playing when you step into your greatness. So continue to do that. Great example for us, Amber. Thank you for that.
Thanks, Paul.
Star 6, next. Come on out.
This is Ray in Illinois.
Hey, Ray. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Hutchings. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. How about yourself?
Equally as awesome. I wanted to give a word of encouragement to Amber and kind of give you a nod, Paul, because you had shared on your blog a graphic that had Ephesians 4:29 on there. Now, this is just, what Paul and I believe. If you don't believe in the Bible, then that's okay, too. We're all here from a place of love. And basically what Ephesians 4:29 says is that let nothing come out of our mouths that doesn't build each other up, so that it will benefit the person hearing the word. And what I believe what Amber was experiencing was, when she dug into her readings, is that she was experiencing an edification, not only from the people that we study, but also from herself. I think a lot of us, we can succumb to the mind viruses that are so prevalent in the world, and we can de-edify ourselves at the same time. So, I want to reach out there to Amber and just, give her a big old hug and just, say, Amber, I believe in you. I don't believe we've met in person yet, but, just get out there and continue to do great things. And with that, Paul, I turn the call back over to you. Thank you for letting me share.
That's awesome. We appreciate you, Ray. Thank you. Good stuff, man.
Appreciate you too, Paul. Bye-bye.
I appreciate that. Let me clear the line, guys. Okay. Good stuff. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, who's that?
Hey, this is Dave Query.
Is that
from,
Dave Spaulding?
Dave Query.
Oh, Dave. Hey, Dave. Good morning. Welcome.
I'm in quite the opposite situation as Amber in her 80 degrees and hot tub. I'm rolling through nearly a whiteout blizzard about 10 miles south of the Canadian border right now, and this call is kind of helping me focus. I was getting kind of snowblind and that before the call, and I dialed it up, and it's just keeping my mind active. And Amber's call really hit me. Not that I've been in the a real leadership position just yet in my life, but just hearing that in her situation, obviously she's been in the leadership position long enough that her income is such that she could take a month off and work on herself. And that to me is inspiring, that once you get to that position, be it for the reason that she went inside or another reason, a family emergency or whatever, that this life that we're studying and trying to, aspire to can get us to that point. And to that, I think she should be proud of herself that she's in that position, and that, from her hot tub, she reached out and touched an old trucker as he plows through a blizzard here. So it's good to be back on the call, folks. I can't say I've been on every one in the last couple of weeks, but I try and record them or listen to the recording. And thanks for a good call today. Paul, back to you.
Thank you, Dave. Great thoughts, my friend. And keep on trucking, my friend. Keep on trucking. We'll be here for you. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Jackson.
Jackson Jackson. Good morning, sir.
Great morning. Great morning to you and the Think and Grow Rich family. The term leadership, a phrase that helped me tremendously a few years ago, and I still look at it today, is when about the people that's following you as the leader. And, of course, leaders, great leaders, train other followers to become great leaders. But I think about you have communication. The word communication of how you have to consistently communicate with your team, with your followers about the vision, about the strategy, and about even the time frame of getting things accomplished, and putting that carrot in front of them. As you, the leader, you're a step or two ahead of the follower. And the statement that really helped me reframe the way I move and the way I think when it comes to leading a team or leading an organization was the phrase that said, be careful of being too far ahead of the people you're leading because they can easily mistake you for the enemy. And so anytime I have a situation where it's a conflict, a little chaos, something going on with the people that you're leading, you look at and you have a discussion and seeing where is the issue at. Is it with vision? Is it with strategy? Is it with planning? Is it with time frames? Because we communicated this last month. We at this point, and you're not at that point. What's happening with you? Now, you're bringing this toxic language into this meeting or into this organization. Let's find out what's happening, because if you're not keeping up, you're starting to see that we, myself as a leader, are becoming an enemy, and then even some of the people in the organization are becoming an enemy because you're saying we are so far ahead. So communicate. And if that person is just so far behind that they're seeing you as the enemy and don't want to catch up, there's also a pruning process, because when you have a rose bush, in order to keep that rose bush looking nice and beautiful, you have to prune. So I wanted to share that information that has helped me and is continuing to help me as I go through this journey. Back to you, Paul.
That's great information, Action Jackson. Thank you very much, my friend. Sure appreciate you and your example. Star
Bill
Six,
Moyes.
You've got 3 minutes left. Hey, Bill.
Bill
good
Moyes.
Morning. Good morning.
Good morning, family. You know, I was thinking this morning, you know, every morning I start out with a cup of coffee because I like the smell, I like the taste, and I like the little lift that the caffeine gives me. But this call is becoming the same thing to me. My day doesn't feel right if I'm not on this call because there's always, regardless of the topic we discover, there's always encouragement given to everyone. And we're out here in the world doing our business. There's always things that discourage us, you know. And so, there's been several times where the group has cheered for me, and that just really brightened my day, you know. It gave me a little spring in my step, you know. And so I love the encouragement that we constantly give each other because, you know, really that's what keeps us going, and that's what gets us through the hard times. So, you know, I've because of this call, I've looked for more opportunity to share encouragement with just people I run into, you know, down the street, wherever, at the grocery store, whatever. And where I work out, there was an old gentleman that I had started noticing. And I noticed one day he was walking around the gym. He'd walk like baby steps, and then he'd sit down for 10 minutes, and he'd walk for baby steps and sit down for 10 minutes. And then I saw him another day lifting weights, and he was lifting like 2.5-pound weights, you know. And I noticed him over a period of time, so I went up to him, and I said, boy, I'm really encouraged by your dedication to your workout. I said, it's really impressive. You know, and he said, yeah. He said, you know, thank you. He said, I appreciate that. He said, you know, I just realized that how my strength has declined over the years, and I need to kind of get back into it. So I made a connection with this man that really, you know, there's people in the gym that are really buff and really ripped. Some of the women are really amazing. But this old man encourages me every day that I see him there because I know how what a challenge it is for him to get up and just to walk. So keep up the encouragement, family. I love you all, and back to you, Paul.
Bill, so powerful. Thank you so
Patrice
much.
Patrice in Dallas.
Patrice, go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I have a question. I think it was Action Jackson that came on, and his information was excellent. He was talking, sort of responding to Kimberly, and he said something about pruning. I'm building my business, and there are times when people are in it and they're not keeping up or they're kind of a drag. And my question is, how do you do that diplomatically. And you, Paul, you have a group. I'm sure you need to do that sometimes. I just want some feedback on that, please. That's it.
I don't know that I have the absolute final answer. I would say you kind of let people prune themselves, and you do the best that you can to be the best that you can, and you do strive to run and you know produce and be at the top of your game as a leader. Like Action Jackson pointed out, some great advice. He said, "Be careful of being too far ahead." It kind of reminded me of a quote that I read the other day that said, "Be wise." But strive if you can to be wiser than those around you, but also strive not to let them know that you are, right? So you do the best that you can to be the best you can and run, you know, and be at the top of your game. And at the same time, you've got to lift people and just set an example, and people will prune themselves, I think. We don't ever want to, like, say to someone, you know, hey, you're not cutting it, you're out, you know, or hey, you can't do this. I remember Art Williams, he says, you give him a helmet and you put him in the game because you can never judge the heart of a man or a woman. And you can't. And my mentor taught me that too. He said, you think you know people, you don't. You see a model of that person. Our eyes, our ears, you know, the senses that we have, they're limited, right? They're limited. What we see in other people is a model of them. It's not them, right? So we really, truly can never, I believe, never judge what's on the inside of some other person. What we can do is we can be the best we can be. We can strive to improve and produce and move forward and lead and inspire and lift. And the ones that are going to run will run, and the others, you know, they'll kind of prune themselves out, I think. That would be my response to that question. But I did also want to go back to a couple of things that were said on the call to kind of close this thing out. You know, one thing that wasn't pointed out is what exactly is leadership? John Maxwell said, leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. He said that's what leadership is. And so when we say that you're a leader, the fact that you're on this call means you're a leader, it's because at the very core level, step number one is we've got to influence ourselves, right? And if we're influencing ourselves to do positive things, like Dave in his truck driving through a blizzard, he influenced himself to pick up the phone and dial into this call. Dave, you're a leader. You're influencing yourself, right? You're influencing yourself. And one of the things that Ray pointed out is that quote from Ephesians that says, I want to share that quote with everyone. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. If leadership is influence, what do our words do, right? Our words are one of the most powerful forms of influencing other people. So this line from the Bible, right, I think it's great advice. It says, don't let things come out of your mouth that is going to hurt people. And that's also reinforced in the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Dale Carnegie talks about never criticize, condemn, or complain. That's one of the first principles he says. And I formulated law number 5 in my mind, because I remember a 5 with beehive. And what does a beehive have? It has honey, right? So law number 5 of a pleasing personality that I formulated, and I think this goes right along with leadership, is you want to pour on the honey, right? Pour on the honey, like Bill was talking about, like Bill did with that guy in his gym. Pour on the honey. If you pour on the honey, if you recognize people, if you tell them they're great, if you point out the good things that they're doing, if you compliment them, if you show them honest and sincere appreciation, that's pouring on the honey, right? Law number 5 of a pleasing personality, law 5, beehive, pour on the honey. If we do that, my friends, yeah, or I should say when we do that or as we do that, because they know we're all doing it, right? And we got to do it to ourselves too, because we're influencing ourselves as leaders, number one. We got to pour on the honey to ourselves. We got to say where we're doing great. We got to say we do have potential. We got to say we can do great things. And then we return the favor for the people around us, and we just move forward developing our leadership and having a great impact on the world. So it's good stuff, my friends. I love you guys. I've been inspired. I really appreciate all the comments and the mastermind portion of the call. Great stuff, Amber. Great example you gave us, and we've just got a great group of people. and we can't help but continue to get better as we continue to be around each other and continue to move forward. So, guys, have an awesome day. Get out there, take action, move towards your dreams. I appreciate y'all, and we'll see y'all back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Bye for now.
Yo!
Thank you, Paul.
Mind is blown, Paul.
I'll be all right.